title Faith Essentials. And what we're doing is we are really taking a real good look at faith. Now, tonight, I really want you to, you know, to really pay attention and to make sure you grasp an understanding of what we're talking about. Take a few minutes to do a review, but then we're going to jump right into what we want to get in this week. So last week, I gave you my operational definition of faith, and I said faith is not considering impossibilities, paralleled with full persuasion that triggers a corresponding action that is in agreement with what you believe. You got it? So when we look at that definition, we can see that that definition, especially as we go through this series, I'll bring out more examples in the Bible, that you can see every part of this definition in action when you see a person in the Bible that's in faith. You got it? When we looked at the woman with the issue of blood last week, number one, we saw that she didn't consider the impossibility. You got it? You know, she'd been dealing with that issue for 12 years, but she didn't consider the impossibility. Then she was parallel with full persuasion. How we know she was fully persuaded? Because she said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I may be made what? Whole. And she went to touch the hem of his garment, even when she had to press her way through a crowd, even when she know that it was against the law for her to be out. You got it? So she was fully what? Persuaded. You got it? That caused this action, you got it, in agreement with what she says she what? Believed. So what she says she believed, she actually what? Did. There's this corresponding action. Now, if you will, go to James 1. James 1, 6. I think we looked at this a little bit last week. James 1, if I can find it. James 1 and 6. Because we, you know, we also talked about, you know, building your house on a sure foundation. And then we left there and we came to James 1 and 6. And James 1 and 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the what? Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his what? Ways. So we was looking at this and we said that if you are a person that is consistently moved by external circumstances, you cannot be a person of faith and should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You got it? Because the man that he's talking about is the man that's tossed to and fro. You got it? When external circumstances, you got it, come into your life, you change based off the external circumstance. Now, the Bible said if you're that kind of person, you really shouldn't expect to receive anything from the what? From the Lord. You got it? Because you're unstable. He even says, goes to the point, say you double-minded. You got it? So we have to understand that no matter what external circumstances come in my life, I will not be moved based off what's going on, but the only thing will move me is what the Word of God what? Says. Now, when you start letting situations or circumstances that show up in your life, storms, move you in an irregular way, your house has not been built on faith. And anything that is not faith is going to fall, and great is going to be the fall. You got it? So when I see circumstances moving me, you got it? I was having a good day until somebody said something to me I ain't like. You got it? Then you just was what? Moved. So you know you weren't in what? Faith. You weren't in faith. You got it? Because when I'm in faith, it doesn't make a difference what you say. It still doesn't what? It doesn't move me. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we're gonna move a little farther today in this because we want to get some greater understanding about what's going on when we're talking about faith. So faith is how we connect with the kingdom. It is the conduit. You got it? Faith is how we connect in the kingdom. It's the conduit. You got it? If you don't have faith, you're not going to be able to connect with the kingdom of God. Got it? It just ain't going to happen. You're still going to be, even though you saved, you're still going to be subject to the kingdom that you was translated from. You got it? You're going to live like that. You're going to operate like that. But as it relates to the kingdom, you're not going to have any kingdom impact in your life. Now, if you will, go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, Second Peter 1 and 3. Yeah. Second Peter 1 and 3. All right. Now we're going to start covering some new ground. All right. Second Peter 1 and 3. And it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. Somebody say all things. All things. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and what? Virtue. So this scripture says that he has given us all things. Somebody say all things. All things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now the question is, where is this all things at? It's in the kingdom. Everything that you will ever need in your life here on earth, God has already set aside for you in the kingdom. And faith is how you get it from the kingdom to you. See, when you need something, God just don't scurry around heaven trying to find it. You got it? He already knew you was going to be here. He's one of God's characteristics that he's all-knowing. He already knew you was going to be here. He knew what was going to be going on in your life. He's already set aside for you everything you will ever need. You got it? But if you don't know how to get it from the kingdom to impact your life in the earth, you're going to be in trouble. And the way I get it is by faith. You got it? Faith accesses or it taps the grace. You got it? That God has already set aside for me. When somebody needs salvation, do Jesus go and die again? No. Salvation is already set aside. So when somebody needs to get saved, they just go and tap the grace that was already set what? Aside for them. You got it? So everything that you ever need in this life, Your situation did not catch God by surprise. He had already planned for it. You got it? So there's grace available for you. You got it? For any situation or circumstance you may be facing. But it's in the kingdom. Now, go to Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, verse 17, very common passage of scripture. Romans 10, verse 17. Now, some stuff we're getting ready to go over now. If you could just grasp this, God, it'll change your life. Romans 10, 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Now, what does hearing the word of God do to us? Or do for us? That's the question. What does it do? Because we are, because a whole lot of people can quote that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay, what does that do for me? Got it? And that's the question I got to ask when I'm sitting there. See, so me just quoting something doesn't do me any good. I got to know, what does this do for me? All right, now go to Mark. Go to Mark 4. Go to Mark 4. Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 26. Mark 4, verse 26. All righty. Mark 4, verse 26. Everybody got it. Now, this is what we did. We getting ready to go to school. All right. Mark 4, verse 26. All right. And it reads, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the what? Ground. Now, who was talking here? Jesus. Yeah, God. Yeah, Jesus was talking here. You got it? So Jesus now, what he's doing now, and this is why these next couple of passages we're getting ready to look at are so important. You got it? Because basically what Jesus is getting ready to tell you is he's getting ready to tell you, watch this, this is how the kingdom works. You got it? He'd already told him, I think, in a couple of verses before, you know, if you understand this parable, you'll be able to understand what? All parables. You got it? But in essence, he was telling them, this is how the kingdom works. Now, if I'm in the kingdom, I should want to know how the kingdom what? Works. You got it? If I gotta live in this kingdom, I need to know how it works. And this is what Jesus explains in these next couple of verses that we're getting ready to look at. So let's go a little farther. Well, I say verse 26, he says, and he says, so is the kingdom of God, or this is how the kingdom of God works. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For first thing you got to understand, you ain't got to know how. When it comes to the kingdom, number one, you might as well get comfortable in not knowing how. The way you think God going to come, he probably ain't coming that way. You don't have to know how. And this is one of the things that kind of messes us up from the start, because we won't know how. You got it? Now, let's keep going. It says, verse 27, and shall sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up. He knoweth not what, how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the what, ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is what? Come. Now, as we begin to look at this, we gotta ask ourselves some questions. Number one, what is the seed? You got it? Because this is talking about seed. So the first thing we gotta identify what is the seed. Well, if you go up to verse 14, jump up to verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the what? The word. So we understand now that the word is the seed. Somebody say, the word is the seed. Now, the ground is the heart of man. That's verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word, or the seed, that was sown in their what? In their what? Heart. So the seed, this is how the kingdom works. The seed is the what? Word. The heart is the what? Ground. You got it? Now, that's the first thing you got to understand. When we're talking about seed, we're talking about the seed. This is how the kingdom works. The seed is the word. The ground is the heart of man. Now, so it goes on to make this statement. It says, so the word, once it hits the heart or the ground, it sprouts and grows up. He knoweth not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn what? In there. So I'm just going to use this word. When you're reading scripture, you have to become a spiritual scientist. You got it? You got it, because you got to understand. You got to ask questions, and you got to see what's going on. Ken, can you bring up my picture? Time you get my email today? Huh? Oh, you got my picture. Okay. All right. Now. All right. Right here is a picture of corn. Now, this is what the scripture is talking about. All right? It's a parable. Corn, wheat, whatever you want to call it. But it said full corn in here, so I'm saying corn. All right? So, now, on day one, all right, go all the way over there to planting. Y'all see planting? A seed is put in the what? In the ground. Now you go from day zero all the way to day 70 through 100. All the way to day 70 to 100, you got it. You have these stages of development. All right? It just, listen now, it just didn't go from being planted in the ground to being a full corn in the what? Ear. You got all of these stages of development that it went through. All right? Before it got from zero or before it got from planting to maturity. Maturity means harvest. Because you can't harvest it until it's what? Until it's mature. It's this time in between. You can leave that picture up there. It was time in between. Now, what am I trying to get you to see is that the kingdom works by a process. And in most cases, time is involved. You got it? Now, listen, if you don't settle this, what you're going to do is you're going to start something and then you're going to quit what you start because you get frustrated with the process. But if I understand that the kingdom of God works this way, you got it? I know it's a what? Process. I must train myself not to get frustrated with the what? Process, because the process involves time. Somebody say time. Now, when I told Ronnie, because I forgot, he must ain't got back yet. Ronnie got back yet? I told him go get me an ear of corn. He ever find my ear of corn? I forgot, slipped my mind until I got ready to come out here and have my props for the night. Well, y'all just had to use your imagination. You got, he coming, we ain't bring my ear of corn. It's frozen. How you gonna give a frozen ear corn, man? That ain't no ear corn. That's corn in a bag, frozen. All right, they probably didn't have it. They probably didn't. Anyway, all right, here we go. Y'all had to use y'all imagination. Y'all use your imagination. All right. Now, when we at the stage of planting, you start with a kernel or a seed. Yes. All right? You start with a kernel or a seed, right there at zero. Uh-huh. Now, when you get to the stage called maturity, watch this, you still end up with a seed, but you end up with multiple seeds. Yes. All right? So now, this is what you got to understand. What was sown in it looks just like what was harvested. I need you to catch this. Don't jump too fast with it. So what was sown looks like over time, when you get to maturity, it's going to look like what was harvested, but just in a multiple form fashion. You got it? It starts with a seed, and it ends with multiple seeds, all right? But it looks like what was sown right in it. So the grain that's in the head, all right, maturity, the grain that's in the head looks like what was sown in the ground, all right? So the word, somebody say the word. The word that you hear is a seed. You got it? It's sown, you got it, in a man's heart. Now, the word comes from heaven. Come on. That's where the word comes from. Whether you know a kingdom, somebody may have told you, but if it's the word, it came from heaven. It came from the kingdom. I may tell you a word, but the word didn't originate with me. Come on, the word originated with who? God. Now wait, God. Okay. So the word, it originated from heaven. So the word had to get from heaven to the earth. So the word, it originates in what? Heaven. You got it? It's sown in the earth, in the heart of a man or a woman. All right? You got to understand the process. So it starts with the word. The word comes from where? Heaven or God. And it's sown in the earth, in the heart of a man or a what? Woman. Now, in the heart of the man or the woman, that word incubates. You got it? Now watch this. That word, once that word is sown into the heart, that word incubates. Just like, watch this, that word is sown in the ground, it incubates under the what? Ground. It starts to develop a root structure, and then it goes through all these stages. You got it? You're everybody with me? But you got to understand, you got it? It came from heaven. It was sown in the heart of man, in the ground. You got it? In man's hearts, it incubates. It begins to develop, and it begins to grow. So what happens during incubation? During incubation, what happens is what's in a man's heart begins to get in agreement with what came from heaven. This is what happened. Now, y'all don't miss this. This is why I'm going to start. Listen, I may sound a lot redundant but this is what people don't understand the kingdom. In the process of incubation, agreement has to be reached. You got it? So now, watch this. That word that was sown into a man's heart, he ends or she ends up getting in agreement with that what? Word that came from heaven. So the whole process gets me to this place called what? Agreement. So that now, when it comes to maturity, watch this, what is in the head looks like what was sown in the ground. They look the same way. Now, here's the question. This is why I needed my seed. But here's the question. When it came in the form of a seed, watch this. When it came in the form of a seed, the harvest was in the seed. Now, listen. The full corn in the ear was in the seed. It was already. When God, oh Jesus, when God gave you His word, He gave you your answer. Come on. See, this is what people don't. The moment you receive the word, you receive the harvest. Now, this is what people don't. No. Yeah. Because in the word was the harvest. The full corn in the ear at the end over here was in the planting seed. So when you get a word in the mind of God, you got your harvest. Not you gonna get. You already got it. It just got to go through the process. It takes time. It takes time. And this is why people, then we got to get another point, but this is why people miss it. You got it? Because they'll get a word from the Lord and they'll be like, man, you discount the seed, so you discount the what? The harvest. If you throw away the seed, you throw away the harvest because the harvest is in the seed. I need y'all to get this. So when God gives me his word on anything, I already got my answer. This is why he says that, watch this, the answer of God is yay and amen. Let it be so. It ain't, well, maybe, or whatever. No, it's yes and amen. Let it be so. Yeah, what you want? Yes. Amen. Let it be what? So all the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, somebody say agreement. Now, when this agreement is reached, when this agreement with the word is reached in a heart of a man, of a woman, faith flows, the harvest comes, and God's will now has legality in the earth. It has, the will of God now has the right to spring forth in the earth, but it had to flow through a man or a woman. This is why we talk about on Sunday. This is why you got to be on Sundays and Wednesdays, because you got to understand, God just can't haul off and do what he want to do in the earth, because he's given the earth over to the men and women. He's given it earth. So now if God wants to do something in the earth, what God does is he uses his word, which is his will. He sows it into a heart of a man or a what, woman. Let them get in agreement with that what, word. Now God's will has the right to have expression in the earth. And the whole process from the word being sown to the harvest showing up is man or woman getting into the place where they're in agreement with God, where, watch this, they now see what God sees. This is why until you see it in here, you will never have it out there. You never have it. But people don't understand, it's a process. All right? Now, go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 23. Man. What's your neighbor say? Respect the process. Got it? You ain't here, you don't know, you want a slot machine. God ain't no slot machine. God, this is how the kingdom of God operates. You got it? If you want something in your life, the first thing you need to do is get a word. You got it? Then you take that word is sown into your heart. That word stays in your heart. It's incubated into your heart until now you begin to get an agreement with what was sown into it. You got it? Then the moment you get in full agreement with what is sown into it, now the harvest what? Comes. And now, at that point in time, God's will, let thy will be done in the earth as it is in what? Heaven. God's will now has a right to find expression in the what? Earth, but it flows through a man. You got it? All right. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of what? God, which liveth and abideth what? So now we get another point that we got to understand that we're spiritual scientists. So now we see that this seed or this word is incorruptible. Now incorruptible means, now watch this, it can't be corrupted. So whatever it is designed to do, come on, it's got to what? It's got to do it. All right, so now the problem can never be with the word. The problem can never be with the seed, because the seed is incorruptible. So watch this, even, okay, let me get ahead of myself. So when God gave you the seed, he gave you the harvest. You got it? And watch this, and the seed is incorruptible because the harvest is contained in the what? Seed. So in the mind of God, who is outside of time, whenever he gives you a word, it's already done. Because when I gave you my word, I gave you my answer. All right? You just need to get in agreement with that word. So let's take an example. The word says, by his stripes, you are healed. Now watch this. That word cannot fail. Stay with me. I'm gonna explain it to you. That word cannot fail because that word is incorruptible. So the word can't fail. Somebody say the word. Can't fail. But guess what can fail? Man's faith. And now, because in this process, once the word is sown, it's going to take faith in order to unlock what's in the what? Word. So even though the word can't fail, man's faith can what? Fail. All right, watch this. Go to Luke. Luke 22. So when I say faith, I'm talking about your agreement with the word. The word, see, you had, yes, see, listen, I don't care if you die from what you got. The word didn't fail you. The word can't fail. It's incorruptible. So if something fail, it has something to do with man, not God. This is why you will see some folk harvest and some folk don't. It ain't the word, because the same word that he gives me is the same word he give my mama. It's in what? Corruptible. He don't have a special word for me and then a word for Hattie. No, it's the same word. Luke 22:31. Oh, geez, let me hurry up. Luke 22:31. It says, and the Lord says, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as what? Wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail what? Now, so that tells me, watch this, that my faith can fail. So my faith can fail me, but the word will never fail me. All right? Now, let's keep going now. Let's keep going because we're going to see something here in a minute. Now, the word is so since the word or the seed is incorruptible, what the enemy does is he goes after the ground. Because if I can disturb the ground, I can prevent the harvest. You got it? See, so because he knows, listen, the moment you get that word, he understands the word is incorruptible. Ain't nothing I can do about that word. But what I can do is I can disturb the ground that it's sown into. Right. Now, because if I can cause enough chaos in the ground, I can get the ground to abort the harvest. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Go to Mark 4:15. Mark 4:15. Mark 4:15. Are y'all getting anything? Man, this is so critical. I've been telling folks, come, make sure you come to church. For the next couple months, get your butt to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. If you can't, I know somebody, if you can't, but get a CD if you can't. But this is the kingdom. Right. And most people, they don't understand the kingdom. This is why they get frustrated. They say, well, you know, that tithing stuff don't work. Yeah. Tithing works. Right. Your faith just don't. that's what that is. No, that's it. No, it works. Your faith don't. Yeah. So now what you got to do is get your faith in gear. Yes. So that now it can produce the harvest that comes from the tithe. Jesus. All right. Because, okay. Watch it. Mark 4, verse 15. All right, we're going to read through 19. Mark 4, verse 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh, he cometh immediately and take away the what? Word that was sown in the what? Heart. Now I'm going to go through it real quick. But he comes immediately to take away the word. Why does he want the word? Because if he takes the word, you can't have no harvest. Because the harvest is in the what? The word. Okay, come on, keep going. Verse 16. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with what? Gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a what? Time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the what? Word's sake, immediately they are offended. We're going to keep going. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh what? Unfruitful. First, number one, Satan will show up. The moment you get a word, Satan will show up immediately and try to steal the word. You got it? Now, if that doesn't work, he begins to bring affliction and persecution. Jesus. Come on. Now, no, no. See, you got to understand. These are strategies that Satan uses so he can disrupt the ground. So the affliction that showed up, it just didn't show up. Come on, the affliction, listen, when I say affliction, affliction can be circumstances, situations, all of those kinds of things. Persecution comes from folk. So he'll either use people or situations, watch this, to disturb your heart so he can mess up that word. Now, this is it. This is his strategy. See, the Bible says don't be ignorant of his devices. The church shouldn't be ignorant on how what Satan is doing, because he knows that the seed is incorruptible. So now the seed has the possibility of changing their life. So now I got to go at the ground. So I'm going to come and try to steal it. If I can't steal it, I'm going to bring affliction, and I'm going to bring what? Persecution. If that doesn't work, come on. Number three, he begins to remind you of the cares of this world. He begins to deceive you about riches and causes you to lust after other things than kingdom things. This is strategic. And you thought that just came from nowhere. No, no. Satan, after that word you heard on Sunday. Yeah, because he knows contained in the word is your breakthrough. And I can't listen, and I can't stop it from happening from a point from going after the word, because the word is incorruptible. So now what I got to do is disrupt the ground. I got to send somebody in your life to get you sideways. So now you in strife, you in resentment, and you in all that stuff, and now that word you heard on Sunday can't work in your ground. Oh, no. Or you worry about the light bill. Can't work. You learn about the car payment. Can't work. He's just disrupting the what? Ground. Okay, come on. Let me finish this. All right, so. But all of this comes so that he can disturb the ground and abort the process of you walking in the harvest. So now, as far as God is concerned, when he gave you the word, the harvest was yours. So the enemy comes, messes with the ground so that he can abort the process. And he does it over and over and over again, and the church falls for it over and over and over again. You so messed up on Monday, you forgot what was said on Sunday. Ah, Jesus, okay, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Somebody hunt your neck and say, get the CD. Just get the CD. Now, because if agreement with the word is broken, the person going to fall away. If the devil can break agreement, if he can break agreement when the word was sown, if he can break agreement, then the person is going to fall away. So what God meant for them to have, they won't have. But watch this. It ain't God's fault. It ain't God's fault. It's your fault because you let your faith fail you because you paid attention to the persecution. Now, watch this. And the devil knows he got a limited amount of time. All of this has to happen. Y'all took my picture down. All of this has to happen in between the time that the seed was sown to the full corn in the ear. So in between, listen, in between that time span, he got to disrupt the ground. And he know it. This is why it seems like when you obey God, immediately it seems like all hell break loose. Y'all, come on. It seems like you ain't been obeying. Then as soon as you make up your mind, you know what, I'm going to do what God said. Oh, everything go crazy. Yeah. Why? Because I got a limited time period. Right. Because every day they stay in agreement with that thing, they getting closer and closer to harvest. And this is the Bible says, this is how the kingdom of God operates. Now, last point, then I'm gone. Jairus' daughter, go to Mark 5. Mark 5, 39. Boy, I like to jump out of my seat when God showed me this morning. Like the loss, the movement. I'm tired, man. I'm just went crazy. Watch this. I ain't never seen. Mark 5, verse 39. 5, verse 39. Verse 35. Verse 35. Y'all got it? It says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? So hold up now. Hold up. So the man came. He said, your daughter is what? Dead. He said the daughter's dead. He said daughter dead. That's what he said. Okay? Now watch this. Go to verse 39. How you see things will determine what you experience in your life. Watch this. This is what he saw. The natural perspective, what they told him, the situation said, your daughter what? Dead. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but what? Ho. I was at the Holy Spirit says, stop. He says, stop. He says, you missed it. I need you to see this. And then he gave me this example. He says, when you go into the room and wake up your children in the morning, is it a big issue? You tell them to get up. Because they just what? But the moment you consider it as them being something other than sleep, now your expectation changes. See, when the Joker came and told Jesus that the girl was dead, in the mind of Jesus, she's just asleep. So if I tell somebody to sleep, to get up, I expect them to. But if I think they dead. No, you're going to catch this. If I think they dead, in my mind, if they're dead and I say get up, ain't nothing gonna happen. Because in my mind, watch this, I view it just like they said it. How many of you all, when you get a report that's contrary to this word, you view it just like they told you? And then you wonder why it don't unchange. It ain't gonna change. Because you see it just like they see it. Romans 10. Who has believed our report? Which means there's always more than one report. And based off how you see it, watch this, will determine what you get from it. They said, everybody said she was dead. That's why they were making all that noise. But they asked Jesus his perspective. Jesus said, she ain't dead. Why y'all crying? She sleep. The problem is you ain't got heaven's perspective. And that's why you can't get harvest. You got to get the word on it. In spite of what everybody's saying. And seeing that's why people missing it. Every day what the doctor said this. The doctor said that. Okay, but now how do you see it? I want y'all to get it. Jesus know what they said. He was sitting right there when they said it. But when did Jesus say, oh, man, boy, she dead, man. You got to pray real hard right now, boy, because she dead. You got to pray hard. You ain't see Jesus that? No. Jesus said, He said, man, just keep believing. Then he showed up. He said, why y'all doing all this noise? He said, the girl just sleep. So how do you view your situation? You see yourself broke? Come on. Let's talk about it. If you see yourself broke, busted, and disgusted, that's what you're going to have. I don't care what your bank account say. This is what people are missing about faith. I don't care what it says in the natural. No. What do you see? And see, here's the thing now. You can't change what you see unless you got a word of God that you've been meditating on. But you know what? Most folk don't meditate on the word. They ain't got time. You got that word on Sunday, you forgot it on Tuesday. No, you got to get, you better hear what I'm saying. When that word is from God and it's for you, you got to make sure that thing is planted in your heart. You got to let that thing incubate until you get to the point where I'm in agreement. I see exactly what God sees. So now, watch this, when the devil sends his messenger, like he will, you got it? And they come bringing bad news. You got it? Their bad news don't affect me because why? My perspective has what? Changed. I don't see what they see. I see what the word says. But it is a process. You sleep and rise, night and day. The seeds spring up and sprouts. You know it not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the what? Ear. It's the process. But church folk ain't got time for the process. Got time for the process. Ain't got time for the process. What do you say about your situation? Do you say what the world says? We're going to get up on this on Sunday. I'm good. You going to close it. We're going to get on this on Sunday. I think I'm going to get to it on Sunday. When transformation takes place, a butterfly can't go back to being a caterpillar. So just the mere fact that you can go back, there ain't no transformation took place. Because that's what that word means. So when you're, you won't be a butterfly. But your mind ain't changed yet. It ain't been transformed. Because when transformation takes place, the butterfly can't say, you know what, I'm tired of flying. Tired of flying, I want to go back to crawling. Who in the world in their right mind will want to go from flying back to crawling? There are places the butterfly can go that caterpillar will never get to. But he had to go through the process. Jesus. He had to go through the process. It didn't happen overnight. He went in the cocoon.